Miller W., Melbourne, Australia, 1898. Dear Brother Miller, I have some things to say to you. Your mind and heart need to be carefully and jealously guarded. You were represented to me as not being acquainted with the movings and leadings of the Spirit of God. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 13. There is need of your closely examining yourself. The estimate that your brethren or the church may place upon you will not, be it good or evil, change your position in the sight of God. The position you now occupy is not of such a character that the Lord can regard you as a man safe in counsel until you shall be converted. You have a work, a serious, solemn work, to do to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Verses 18 to 21. The connection of every soul with God is essential. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man, found true and faithful, have praise of God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, 2, 5. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans 2, verse 29. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17, 18. If, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Romans 5, verse 10, 11. I was in a council meeting where a message was given to the interested ones connected with the Echo office. The necessity of decided changes being made was being presented. Some began to question and to require specifications to the letter as to what must be done. One represented as our counselor stepped forth and presented matters before us. It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. His ministers are grievously mistaking their calling and misunderstanding their master's work when they permit themselves to be diverted to any matters that have any influence to cheapen their minds or characters. Daniel was placed in a most critical, trying position in Babylon. But while he did the work assigned him as statesman, he refused plainly to handle any work that would militate against God. This provoked discussion, and the Lord, in his providence, which is incessantly at work over human affairs, brought the king of Babylon into reasoning relation with Daniel concerning prophecies against Babylon and other kingdoms. The wise providence of God had light for Nebuchadnezzar. Jehovah was exalted as more powerful than any other kingdom by the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The Lord thus coming in close contact with human minds, even the minds of idolaters, was for a purpose. But Nebuchadnezzar read the interpretation of the dream in accordance with his own idolatrous mind. This led to the setting up of a golden image which represented the kingdom of Babylon, and more particularly, the king of Babylon.
Christ himself walked in the fiery furnace with his three faithful servants, who would not bow the knee to that idolatrous image set up in the plain of Dura. Nebuchadnezzar's heart was so wrought upon by this wonderful miracle that he believed in God and in his superior power. He was instructed by Daniel that all, whether king or subjects, were to read the scriptures and providence, not in the light of their dreams, but were to read their dreams in the light of the living oracles. The dream given to the king was interpreted by Daniel in the light of the scriptures, but Nebuchadnezzar had so brought his dream into harmony with his own human understanding that he made a most wonderful display of idolatry, which he supposed was of sufficient authority to convert all nations to the worship of that image, representing the excellence of Babylon. But the fall of Babylon came at an hour of feasting and reveling. So will it be in the end of the world. The period in which we are now living is one of peculiar and momentous importance. The students of God's Word will, in these last days, work away from the customs and appointments of the world's great counselors. They will not take the position, "My Lord delayeth his coming," for since the fathers fell asleep, all things remain as they were from the beginning of creation. Matthew 24, verse 48, 2 Peter 3, verse 4. Only the wise virgins will be prepared, with oil in their vessels with their lamps, to go forth to meet the bridegroom. The Lord communicates to his people if they are walking in the light. The questions which you agitate in regard to your future work, it is not the plan of God to specify. It is much easier to ask, as did the lawyer, "Who is my neighbor?" than to do the work of righteousness that opens before you in the providence of God. Commence the work with the light God has given you, and as you shall set your own inquisitive minds at work to examine yourselves whether you have the love of God in your hearts, you will find knowledge regarding his will. Minds are being educated to confuse judgment by words. This is Satan's plan always. There is no possibility of defining every specification of the work that shall be accepted as a work that will not displease and dishonor God. But there is no danger if the heart is susceptible to the influence of the Spirit of God. The first work essential is to give the message of mercy and warning to the world, to ears that will hear. A wall of seclusion is not to be built up between believers and unbelievers, for those who know not the truth are to be warned and enlightened. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Christ came to encircle the world with an atmosphere of grace. There are many in high places who will receive the light of truth if those who claim to believe the truth have that faith that works, that will recommend their doctrines to those who know not the truth. Let an atmosphere of faith and love and unity circulate through every department of the office. Angels will be commissioned to lead divine influences to impress the minds brought in contact with the working forces. A fragrant influence will go forth from the workers to all who choose to inhale it. That the mercies, favors, and bounties of God are granted to the just and to the unjust is a lesson to all classes, and, in a special sense, to those who advocate truth. Our light is to be set on a candlestick, that it may give light to all who are within the house. God's blessings, sunshine and showers, heat and cold, and every natural blessing are given to the world. Exclusiveness is not to be maintained by any people. "I am the light of the world," Christ said. John 8, verse 12. Light is a blessing, a universal blessing, which pours forth its treasures on a world unthankful, unholy, demoralized. The Lord Jesus came to demolish every wall of exclusion, to throw open every wall in the temple where God presides, that every ear may hear, that every eye may see, that every thirsty soul may drink of the water of life freely. The character of God must be represented by those who believe. Just as soon as believers honor God, God will honor them by His presence. As they advance, the Holy Spirit will communicate the knowledge that it is essential for them to have. The human mind needs to be sanctified and made pure from all greed and selfishness. Then God can use individual believers as living channels of light. God will breathe on sincere, contrite, penitent, believing disciples. But the self-sufficient receive not the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the efficiency of every soul. If a ray of hope or light shines into the soul, it comes from God. A melting, subduing spirit of unity needs to be created by love to God and for one another. Christ would have all who are connected with the work give evidence that they are a pure, peculiar people, zealous of good works. You ask questions that no human mind can intelligently answer. Times are constantly changing. The providence of God is constantly advancing.